The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
Well, here we go. Picking up where we left off. You know, the series Manifesto was really intended to be a series that had some pretty hard things for us to swallow. And I was looking back at some of the things we talked about, and there was some pretty intense stuff that we discussed. You know, Jesus met with his disciples, and he talked about adultery. He talked about divorce. He talked about the attitudes that we're supposed to have. He talked about a lot of these things, and when he would reference these things, he would go back and he would say, you know what, these things have been taught for a long time, but now you're hearing it from the person that wrote it. So he would bring out some things that they had never thought about before. And a lot of the way that they thought things through, or the way that they thought these things went, turned out it was a little bit different. And they went from kind of thinking they had a list of rules to follow and realized that they actually had a heart that needed to line up with God's heart. And that's really what Manifesto is all about. It's not necessarily that there's a bunch of rules that need to be followed. It's that if your heart is following after God's heart, then you're going to be doing the things that are pleasing to God. And so that's kind of where this is taking us. At first glance, the verses that we're going to talk about this morning might not seem quite as intense as some of the stuff we've talked about, but it really is. We live in a culture that does not place a high value on truth. It's a sad fact. We have an incredibly elaborate system of lawyers and contracts and notaries and binding signatures, all this to ensure that someone is going to do what they said they're going to do. The sad thing about it is that people are not any more truthful because of that. There was a recent study that was done by Barna, which is an organization that just does some incredible things with statistics. The study that they found was only 22% of adults in America believe that there's even such a thing as absolute moral truth. So in other words, only 22% of the adults in America believe that what's true for me is also true for you. There's some things that never change because truth never changes. There are certain things that are absolute moral truth, and not a lot of people believe that. A lot of people believe that if something's right for me, it may not be something that's right for you. And so it's real easy to call right wrong and wrong right. But the real kicker was that the study found, relating to those who profess to be Christians, and I kind of use the word Christians carefully because I think a lot of times people don't really know what a Christian is, and they think if you live in America, then you got to be a Christian, right? If you have gone to a church, if you've driven by a church, if you know where a church is, then you're probably a Christian. And so that term is just really used loosely, I think. But Barna actually defined the term Christian. And so the definition is people who said they have made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ that is still important in their life today, and also indicated they believe that when they die, they will go to heaven because they've confessed their sins and accepted Jesus as their Savior. So, kind of doesn't really leave a whole lot of room for doubt there. These are people that truly are followers of Jesus. And among that specific group, only 32% of adults and only 9% of teenagers said they believe moral truth is unchanging or absolute. So is it any wonder that we live in a society that has trouble with honesty? We live in a culture that has difficulty really saying what they mean and meaning what they say. So we're going to look at some truths that have to do with, or some principles that have to do with absolute truth. So let's pray and ask God that He would just open our eyes so that we see some things real clearly. Because the deal is that the passage that we're going to be considering this morning, it was spoken by the one who declared himself to be the way, the truth, and the life. And he presents us with a standard of truthfulness that's infinitely higher than the standard that we hold. So let's pray. Father, we just ask that you would open our eyes, God. Help us to see some things that maybe we didn't already know. Show us things about ourselves, our own lives, God. God, you're so amazing how you can look right into our hearts and you know exactly what our thoughts are. You know what our motives are. And because of that, God, we can't hide anything from you. And so this morning as we dig into this, we ask, God, that you would make these things clear to us, that when we leave here this morning, that there will be no doubt in our mind about the truths that we learned here. And I pray, Father, that as I speak these words, God, that you would speak through me, God. I certainly can't communicate these things on my own. It's only through you speaking through me. And I pray that our hearts would be open and ready to receive. Thanks, God, for all you do for us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the passage, if you have looked ahead at all, is about vows or oaths or promises. And the title of my message is Empty Promises. I'm going to read the whole passage that we're looking at. It's not very long. It's like 5 verses. And then we'll kind of pick it apart and draw some stuff out of it. Okay, so Matthew 5, starting with verse 33. This is, by the way, Jesus speaking to this group of people. And over the past, 7 weeks that we've been talking about the series manifesto, this has all been like one message that Jesus is delivering to everybody at one sitting. Imagine sitting there and getting all this at once. Matthew 5, verse 33. You have also heard that our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. But I say, do not make any vows. Do not swear by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. And do not swear by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not swear by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say, by my head, for you cannot turn one hair white or black. Just say simply, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. So, as with the other subjects that Jesus covered, he begins by quoting something from the Old Testament law. And he starts right out with this verse, verse 33. He says, you've also heard that our ancestors were told, you must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord. We've been told in the Bible that God wants us to make vows or promises to him. I want to share with you guys a couple of scriptures. The first one's from Deuteronomy 23:21-23, and this is the law that Jesus was referring to. It says, when you make a vow to the Lord your God, be prompt in fulfilling whatever you promised him. For the Lord your God demands that you promptly fulfill all your vows, or you will be guilty of sin. However, it is not sin to refrain from making a vow. But once you've voluntarily made a vow, be careful to fulfill your promise to the Lord your God. Okay, so here's the law that Jesus is making reference to. Okay, here again in Ecclesiastes 5:4-5, the same thought. When you make a promise to God, don't delay in following through, for God takes no pleasure in fools. Keep all the promises you make to him. It is better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it. So some pretty clear verses on if you make a promise to God, make sure that you follow through with that. And it's actually better not to make that promise if you don't intend on keeping it. Okay, so here's what's happening. The religious leaders or teachers at the time were teaching that you had to keep the vow that you would make before God. And if you didn't keep that vow, then there would be some serious consequences. So they thought about that for a while and decided, you know what? We don't want to have to face those consequences, so let's try to figure out a way around making vows to God. And yet we still want to have authority, we still want to have credibility, but we don't want to say, I promise you, God, because then we're entitled to, or we're under this responsibility. Okay, so I think the first thing we can learn here that Jesus is telling is the people that are gathered there is we are responsible for the truth. We are responsible for the truth. Because here's the thing. Doing what you say you'll do ultimately comes down to honesty and integrity before God. Doing what you say you'll do ultimately comes down to honesty and integrity with God. When you were a kid, and maybe some of you still do this, shame on you, and you told somebody you were going to do something, but you weren't really planning on doing it, what would you used to do behind your back? Cross your fingers. Now, if someone was telling you they were going to do something and you didn't believe them, you said, let me see your hands, because you want to make sure they weren't crossing their fingers. So they would uncross their fingers and show you their hands. And then you would say, take your socks and shoes off because I want to make sure your toes aren't crossed. Did you ever do that? You know, it's like we think of all these ways to get out of fulfilling promises that we have. But God says that is evading honesty. If you don't do something that you say you're going to do, you're participating in a lie. And we don't really like to think of it that way. Because maybe at the moment we're planning on doing it, but then later on we're like, no, I don't really know if I want to do that. And so we've made the promise that we made, we've turned it into a lie. And so the important thing that Jesus is saying here is that we are responsible for the truth. If you're someone who would say, I'm a follower of Jesus, I want to live my life to honor him, then the things that you say you're going to do, you follow through with them and you do them. The promises that you make, you keep those promises. Psalms 15, verses 1 through 2. Here's like the standard. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. So God is saying, if you want to be a person that is close to me, you've got to be a person that holds truth and the highest value in your life. But what about that part where he says, don't make any vows? Let's look at that, Matthew 5:34. But I say, do not make any vows. So how does that compare with verses like Deuteronomy 6:13 that says, you shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. There's a direct command to make promises to God. Deuteronomy 10:20, you must fear the Lord your God and worship him and cling to him. Your oaths must be in his name alone. So the idea is that if you're going to make a promise, you're so committed to keeping that promise that you're asking God to hold you accountable for that. So we're asked to do that. So then why does Jesus say, I say, don't make any vows? What's he trying to get at? Okay, first of all, maybe we should look at a couple vow makers as some examples. Abraham, you know who Abraham is, the father of nations, the guy that God called to basically be the one that began this whole thing. And so Abraham and an Egyptian king called Abimelech, he kind of got into an argument with him over some wells, okay, about whose property that was. And so they made an oath, and they swore by God that they were not going to fight over these things. And so they declared who was going to be what and which one belonged to who. Okay, so Abraham was a big-time vow maker. Another time, Abraham and his servant made a vow. He had his servant actually vow that he would find a wife for his son, and that the wife that he found for his son was going to be exactly the type of girl that Abraham said she would be. Can you imagine your dad doing that? Yeah. He's like, this is exactly the girl I want for my son. I don't want she has to look exactly like this. No, he didn't talk about looks, but he did talk about where she had to be from and who she was related to. And so they made a vow that that was going to happen. So Abraham was a big-time vow maker. Another person that made a vow, Hannah, mother of Samuel. If you remember the story, Hannah prayed and prayed that God would give her a son. And she said, if you would give me a son, I vow that I will give him back to you. He'll serve you in the temple, and he'll become what they call a Nazarite. And so she made that vow, and sure enough, when she had her son, when he became old enough, she took him and she committed him to the Lord, and so he served there in the temple. Someone who made a vow. Another guy, Jacob and Laban. Man, Jacob should not have made this vow, but Jacob made a vow with Laban that he would work for him for 7 years so that he could marry his daughter. And then at the end of the 7 years, Laban gave him the wrong daughter. So when he found out, he was like, what's the deal? The bad thing about it was like the morning after. And then he was like, oh, this is not the girl. No, this is not her. And so he actually made another vow with him that he was going to work another 7 years to get the other girl. So he got two wives out of the deal. But they were sisters, so only one mother-in-law. So there's another vow. So we have all these people that are making vows, and they're doing it the right way. They're making these vows before God. And they're basically saying, I agree to this, then God's going to hold me accountable. So it was a way of giving credibility to the promise that you were making, because God was going to hold you accountable. Okay, so let's go back to our passage. Jesus says, do not swear by heaven, because heaven is God's throne. Do not swear by the earth, because the earth is his footstool. And do not swear by Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say, by my head, for you cannot turn one hair white or black. So what's the significance of swearing by someone or something? Basically, you were invoking the name of one whose witness was reliable and trustworthy, and that was going to testify to the trustworthiness of your words. Hebrews 6:16, I don't have that on the screen, but it says, men swear by one greater than themselves. So a man is always looking for something with more authority to validate what he's saying. So what was happening was the Jews of Jesus' day, they kind of put an interesting twist on this whole idea of making vows. See, they had trouble telling the truth consistently, kind of like we do. And so in order to guard themselves against being found guilty of not keeping their vow, if they didn't keep the vow that they had made to God, then they were going to be in big trouble. So what they began to do was they began to substitute other things for God. So they would say, I swear by God's creation that I'm going to do this. So they were still trying to add credibility to what they were saying, but they were just taking God out of the picture. And the idea was that they wanted to still have the authority and the value of that promise, but they didn't want to be held accountable if they didn't keep that promise. So does that make sense? So it kind of became like, I don't know, a fad. It became so trivial where they would even say, I swear by my own head. And Jesus is reminding them, you don't have any control over those things. He said, don't swear by heaven, because that's my pad. Don't swear by the mountains or the earth, because I made that. That's mine. You don't have any control over that. He said, don't even swear by your own head, because you don't even have control over the color of your hair. Well, some of you have control over the color of your hair, but we know the roots, the real hair color is still there. But you understand what Jesus is saying? He's saying you don't have authority to swear by those things, because those things aren't under your control. And those things are not going to hold you accountable for the vow that you make. And what's he saying? He's saying we are accountable to God. We are accountable to God. So not only are we responsible for the truth, but we're accountable to God. And I would go further by saying removing God from the equation doesn't free you from accountability to him to speak the words of truth. So just because you don't make reference to God, or just because you don't include God in the conversation, doesn't free you from that responsibility. God expects us to tell the truth, and we are accountable to God. We can't get around that. We can't work our way around that. And that's what was happening in this time. And so Jesus was making it very clear that although they were familiar with the law that said, when you swear, make a vow by God, and they were aware of that command, but Jesus was saying, you know what? If you try to go anywhere around that, you're still accountable to God, no matter what you swear by, no matter what you make your promise by. Okay, so we're not big vow makers, and we make a pretty significant vow in our lifetime when we marry, okay? And maybe, you know, when you sign a contract, that's like your vow. But, I mean, we don't daily go around making vows, but we do go around making promises. We do go around telling people, yes, I'm going to do that. I promise to do that. I give you my word that I'm going to do that. And so do you understand what Jesus is saying here? He's saying that when you say that, it's the same thing as saying, may God hold me accountable. Okay? There's no way around it. You can't make a promise and not involve God, is what he's saying. Pretty interesting. Because now that kind of changes the way you think a little bit. Because now you're going to be a little bit more careful next time you go to make a promise, realizing that God actually holds you accountable for that promise. It kind of changes the whole dynamic. Because we think, you know, if we are the one that holds ourselves accountable, then we can let ourselves slide every once in a while. But if it's God that holds us accountable, we've got to be honest and we've got to be truthful. And that's no less than what Jesus asks of us. Psalms 139, I want to read several verses from this. And this is just a serious reminder that God knows the promises you make. Oh Lord, you've examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. Verse 7 says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. That's a pretty serious reminder that God knows everything about us. God knows your promises even before they come out of your lips. And so everything you say and do has to be done in honesty and integrity. A pastor named Tom Wright says this. He says, it would be better to swear no oath at all than to think you can contrive a way to avoid accountability before God to be a truthful person. Because if we thought we could get away with it, we definitely would. We definitely would. How many times have you just wished you could get out of a promise? And a lot of times it depended on who you made the promise to. If it was somebody who was kind of stubborn, now they would hold you to it. But so many times, you could just kind of let it slide because maybe it wasn't that big of a deal. But Jesus is saying it is a big deal. So we're responsible for the truth, and we're accountable to God for what we say. Let's look at verse 37. And Jesus just kind of summarizes the whole thought in this last verse. He says, just say simply, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Anything beyond this is from the evil one. In other words, if you're trying to talk yourself into figuring out a way to not be accountable to God, it's just the devil trying to trick you and deceive you into believing yourself that you can get away with that. Just simply say, yes, I will do that, or no, I will not do that. And what's Jesus saying here? He's saying we're called to dependability. We've been called to dependability. So someone should look at your life, and if you make a promise or you say you're going to do something, they should know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going to follow through with that. And maybe you're not at a place in your life right now where you have some big promises hanging out there, but you're going to reach a point in your life where you're going to have to make some big commitments. And then you're going to be asked to follow through with those things, and God is calling us to be dependable. Matter of fact, it's more important to be known for truthfulness than our ability to make big promises. It's more important to be known for truthfulness than to make big promises. What I mean by that, it's more important for you to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that, rather than say, yes, I'll do that, and then blow it off. I love how the Message puts this verse, and we reread this verse a little earlier, but Psalms 15 verses 2 through 5, the Message says it this way. Walk straight, act right, tell the truth. Keep your word, even when it costs you. And let me tell you something. I've said some things in the past and made promises, and it cost me. Because I really had to follow through with those things. And so Jesus is saying, if you're going to say you're going to do something, you've got to do it. And God's going to be the one to hold you accountable. It really becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a lifestyle of integrity. And in a world and in a culture where people are not doing that, where people are not keeping their promises, and where people are calling the truth a lie and calling a lie the truth, you're going to stand out. People are going to see the way you live, and they're going to realize that's a person that keeps their promises. That's a person that holds truth in high value. That's a person that's accountable to God for the things that they say. And that's a person that they can depend on. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, God, that you're very clear about these things. And I know, God, that it's easy sometimes to say something that we don't mean. But Father, I pray that before we do that, we would recognize that everything that we say and everything that we do, you're going to hold us accountable for those things. And God, if we're going to call ourselves followers of you, we really don't have a choice. As in everything that we've looked at in this message that you gave to your followers, we realize that we really don't have a choice. These are the things that we must do. This is how we must live. And Father, I would pray that if there's anybody here that struggles with this, they struggle with honesty and with truthfulness and with keeping their word, God, I pray that you'd give them the strength to honor you through that. God, help us to recognize that we are responsible for the truth, even when the people around us are denying it or saying it's not important, God. And I pray, God, that we would live our lives recognizing that we're accountable to you for everything that we say and everything we do. And most of all, God, I pray that the people that witness our lives would see us as dependable, would see us as people that can be trusted. God, I pray that you do all these things for us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close our time together with a song, but there's a lot of stuff here that I think really requires some pretty serious thought. And I know it's easy sometimes. We finish here and then we kind of just go on with our day and, you know, maybe a half hour later you won't remember 80% of what we talked about. But God places such an incredible value on the truth. I mean, Jesus called himself the truth, and he is the truth, and he gave us the truth. And for that reason, we need to be people of truth. We need to be people that keep our promises, and we need to be people that are dependable. This world isn't going to get it anywhere else. They're not going to get that message from the media. They're not going to get that message from the news. It's only going to come from people that are trying to follow Jesus and trying to live lives that honor him.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You